Marty Lurie here on KBR 680. Baseball coming up. Another beautiful day in this pennant race. Chad Chopp joins us, and fans, it's a name you may have heard of on the air. Very interesting man, and I'm going to let him tell his story, but he pitches some batting practice for the Giants, and he also is part of the video team that's actually pretty good and has a good percentage of calls being overturned and not wasting challenges. But, Chad, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Marty. Great to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is wonderful. First of all, batting practice pitcher. You were a professional pitcher, and you're throwing BP. I guess first thing I'd wonder is, do you ever get the competitive juices going as you throw BP?
Well, actually, when I played, I was a first baseman and a left fielder, so I love the sound of solid contact. Okay. So when I'm throwing batting practice, anytime I give up a long one, it actually makes me feel good from being a former hitter. So.
Okay. All right. Give us your background. First of all, let's start as a kid growing up around baseball. Then, as you will tell us, you played in the Nationals minor league system for about 5 years as a position player. But what about your background in baseball? How did you get into this?
Well, from about the age of 2 years old, all I can remember is wanting to be a major league baseball player. So that was always my dream, and just loved baseball with a passion. Grew up watching it, always wanted to play it. Went to Tustin High School and had a good career there, and went off to San Diego State for a couple years, and then I actually transferred to Vanguard University, and that's where I got drafted out of in the sixth round in 2002.
So who did you root for growing up?
Growing up, I was a big Angels fan. However, I've told Sean Dunston, if I knew better in 2002, I would have been pulling for the Giants for sure. So,
all right, Chad Chopp joins us. Good baseball man. Did you ever pitch before? I mean, I know you're batting practice now, but pitching in your background at all?
Yeah, growing up, I was a pitcher. Being left-handed, you know, they're going to give you a ball and see how you do off the mound. I was a real good pitcher in high school. Actually tore the muscle off the bone in my growing my senior year in high school, or else I would have been drafted as a pitcher. Oh. So, but yeah, I was a big pitcher, and then as I got into college, continued to hit, and they needed me at first base, so I kind of transferred over to that and swung the bat pretty well for a while. So,
when you say San Diego State, I think of a pretty good baseball school, obviously. And who was there when you were there?
Yeah, great school. Played with Aaron Harang, Tabor Lee, who's Travis Lee's brother. Got to meet Tony Gwynn. Got to meet his son, Anthony Gwynn. And it's a great history there. Mark Grace went there. A number of guys went to San Diego State. Very fortunate to go there, and I loved my time there.
Yeah, you learn a lot of baseball. What'd you major in?
I majored in communications and business. So I always wanted to do something with media and stuff like that, and I love talking to people. So I felt like communication would be a good way to go for me.
All right. Well, when this interview is concluding, I'm going to let you ask me a question. We do this with Javier Lopez all the time, the philosopher, and he likes doing it. So we're going to give you a shot as we wrap it up. Chad Chopp is with us. All right. Getting drafted by the Nationals, did you expect to get drafted? And what did you think when you did?
Yeah, it's a funny story. I expected to get drafted later in the draft. I had probably 12 teams talking to me, and they were saying anywhere from the 15th to 30th round. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Expos, they were still the Expos back then, they drafted me in the sixth round. And I eventually asked my scout, like, I didn't even hear from you guys. You came out of nowhere. And he said they were scouting another pitcher, and they saw me and liked my athleticism and took a shot at me at the sixth round. So it was kind of a surprise, but it was great.
All right. The old Expos, you get an Expo hat at least?
Oh, yeah. I have Expos hats, shirts. Yeah, I loved the Expos. They gave me a shot. You never forget the team that drafted you. So I love the Expos.
All right. Chad Chopp with us. You know him, of course, through the broadcast. We hear you, of course, in the video room, and you do throw BP, which is really an incredible story. We'll get to that in just a second. But what kind of a career did you have in the minor leagues?
I was a career 270 hitter. My first full season of pro ball, I led the league in hits, the South Atlantic League. So it was pretty promising at the start. And then the difference between major leaguers and minor leaguers is consistency. So I had a poor year the following year and got released after the next season. But career stats, 270, so I can hang my hat on that. It's not terrible.
Yeah, the old Sally League. Come on, Hank Aaron started out in the Sally League with Jacksonville. I remember way back when. What was the Sally League like, some of those cities?
I'll tell you what, when you're leading the league in hits, it's great, you know? It was a great league. There's great, like you said, tradition, a lot of old ballparks. You're sharing a batter's box with Mickey Mantle and some of these greats. So anytime you're playing professional baseball, it's an honor. and you have to treat it that way. And I certainly did, and loved my time in the Sally League.
What city did you play for?
Savannah Sandnats. Yeah, Savannah. Great, great city. Yeah, Savannah.
I know it well. All right, Chad Schaub with us. All right, so now you get released. Is that it for your baseball career as far as playing on the field?
Right. As far as affiliated ball, I played a half a season in independent ball, and decided right before the All-Star break, decided that I needed to kind of join the real world. So I went ahead and retired, and actually got on in the fire department out in Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, so I did that for 5 years.
Wow. All right. And now the story gets interesting. I mean, I live in Arizona in the off season. Where were you, and how did you, communications business major, how does he end up in the fire department?
Well, my uncle was a fire chief in Alhambra, which is L.A. County. So I had always seen growing up how great his job was, and just the ability to risk your life for others is something that really intrigued me, and I feel like that's an honorable profession. So I went ahead and pursued it, and the first time I tried, I got on with the Tucson Fire Department and didn't realize at the time how lucky I was, because it's very difficult to get onto fire departments. But got on my first try, and it was kind of one of those things where I didn't know any better. I just figured I'd get on, and I did. So I did that for 5 years and loved my time with the Tucson Fire Department.
Wow. Chad Schaub with us. Fireman. All right. Now, I think fireman of a relief pitcher, but we won't throw that pun in there. Interesting moments as a fireman. I imagine you must have had a few.
Yeah. There's some life-changing moments when you're a firefighter. There's any day you go to work, anything can happen, and it certainly did. I had some calls that I'll definitely never forget. I had some great moments. Anytime you can save a child from drowning, certain things like that where you know you literally changed a life and you saved a life, it's pretty special. But yeah, it definitely shaped me and changed me as a man. So,
what a story. All right, let's move forward now. You are in baseball.
Yeah.
You're a fireman in Tucson. How do you make the transition? Who discovers you?
Well, I decided to start my own business, and was just working with kids, high school athletes, kids getting ready to go into college, doing pitching and hitting lessons in Arizona. And my best friend called me up from Laguna Beach and said he wanted me to move out there and be his hitting coach and start my business out there. So I went ahead and did that. And in doing so, about 2 or 3 months into it, I ran into Hunter Pence at a 24-hour fitness. And it was funny because the first 3 times I saw him, I didn't say anything. But the fourth time, I figured, okay, there's a reason why I keep running into Hunter Pence. So I introduced myself to him, and he said he needed a guy to help him get ready for spring training. And the next day, we were on a field working out.
Wow. And he's a giant at this point, I take it. All right. So Chad Schaub is throwing BP to Hunter Pence in Southern California. How'd it go?
I thought it went pretty well. The funny thing about Laguna Beach High School is there's short fences. So he hit about 8 home runs in a row to the same house. And the owner of the house actually came out and was like, what the heck's going on? He thought a war had started in Laguna Beach. So I'd say BP went pretty well. He was hitting a lot of homers. So we had fun.
All right. Boy, interesting. All right. Now you're here in San Francisco. And I assume Hunter Pence has something to do with your being a giant.
Hunter brought my name up to the front office and just felt like I'd be a good addition to the club. He felt like I have a positive attitude and work hard, and there was a need for a left-handed batting practice pitcher, and just so happened that Replay started at the same time. So it was one of those things where it's just perfect timing. Came in and helped Replay with Sean and doing BP, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be here.
Boy, that's where we started this conversation, throwing BP as a competitive pitcher. Now I understand a hitter, a fireman. Now he's a BP pitcher, doing pretty well. Chad Schaub with us. All right, let's talk the other aspect of the job, and which I touched on earlier as well, and that's Replay, and just tell us how you guys go about it. You guys are really good at it, and you're quick, too.
We work well together. The best thing about Sean is he just wants to get it right. You know, Sean, I'm so thankful to be able to work with him. He's a great teammate. He's a great leader as far as in that room. And what we do is when a play happens, I'm on the computer, so I'll pull up the best angle. We'll look at it, and Sean will make the final decision. And we are quick at it. We do our very best, and it matters to us. To us, that's hitting a game-winning homer, and we can win a challenge. Yeah. So that's our way to impact the game and kind of help the guys on the field, which we care about. So
how do you understand the standard of proof? I mean, I'm a lawyer. You know, clear and convincing evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. How do you figure it out? Because some of these are such bang-bang plays with a cleat hitting a bag as a ball maybe is going in a glove. Yeah. What's the standard you use?
You know what? We know the umpires are doing their best, and they do a great job at what they do. So what we try to do is, in our judgment, if we feel like we have a good shot to win a challenge, we'll go ahead and go for it. And if we win it, we're elated. And if we don't get it, we know we can only control what we can control. So we take that chance when we feel like we have the best shot to win it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, sometimes they deem it inconclusive, and you have to understand that and respect it.
Yeah, so when you see daylight, let's say, if you see some daylight in the call, it's okay.
Yeah, Sean and I like to say if a four-year-old can walk into the room and say, hey, he's out, or hey, he's safe, we're going to win that challenge. So that's what we're looking at.
Very good. This slow motion is pretty important, too.
X-Mo is critical. Yeah, anytime we can get X-Mo, it makes our job real easy. There's times when we'll see a play in the replay, and then when we see X-Mo, it completely changes our mind. So X-Mo is critical for our job.
It looks like you like your job.
I'm so thankful. Every day I wake up, I'm just excited to come to work and help these guys win in any way possible, and it's like a dream.
And the guys tell you where they want the ball in BP?
Oh, yeah, they tell me about when the ball goes over the fence. So as soon as that ball goes over the fence, I try to repeat that that location.
Well, I guess imagine with some guys, you know, you see batting practice over the years. Some like to, I remember Freddie Sanchez would just hit the ball to right field all the time and work his way around the diamond. Do you see that too?
Yeah, you see real good approaches by all these guys. One guy that stands out is Buster Posey. Buster will just wear out the right side of the field. And that's something I like to tell youngsters, like, let the ball get deep and hit it the other way. Some of the best hitters to ever do it, like Buster, that's what they do. You know, so they're just creating good habits. You know.
All right, Chad Chopp with us. What a pleasure. I see a lot of you, and you know, you're doing a nice job here in a dual role as well. Very important. All right, I'll let you ask me a question. So, you know, you're a communications guy. I was a business major too.
Yeah.
So you've seen me around. You've heard the show. Go ahead. You can take a shot at me.
All right, we're here with Marty Laurie, KNBR. Quick question, Marty. How did you get your start in baseball? We all love you so much around this area, and just how did you get your start? Where's your passion for the game come from?
All right, very good. Well, born in Brooklyn, New York, and the golden era of baseball when baseball cards told a story.
Yeah.
And I love baseball cards, and I'd look at a card, and then I would learn what the story was about a person. We didn't have ESPN or MLB Network, and we got it from the newspaper or a baseball card. So every year when the baseball cards came out and you could see the new pictures of the players and the new players and look at the back of that card and see the numbers, you felt you had connected with the player because there were no autograph signings or that kind of stuff. You didn't run into anybody, but your baseball card made your heart flutter when you saw the guy on the card. And if you were a Brooklyn kid or a New York Giant guy or a Yankee and you got the card that was Mickey Mantle, like you say, or Jackie Robinson, that's where the passion started from. And it really started from baseball cards. We would get them all year long. They'd come out in sets. First set in March, the last set in September, and you couldn't wait to go to your candy store to see if they had the new cards.
There you go. That's awesome. Right. That's great. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Very good. Good question. All right. I like it. All right, Chad, thanks for being on. It's a pleasure to have you on. And I know watching the results of these replays, you guys really have it together. And, of course, the hitting isn't so bad either.
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate it. And I got to give a lot of credit to Sean Dunson and obviously these hitters.
Yeah,
they make me look good sometimes. So thank you, Marty.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. That's Chad Chopp. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.